Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Shira Springer. Boston sports radio station WEEI has suspended all live programming today for mandatory sensitivity training. WEEI has had a history of controversial comments and hosts on their airwaves. But the tipping point came last week when midday show host Christian Fourier mocked Tom Brady's agent Don Yee using a fake Asian accent. They were making fun of Herald writer Ron Borges. Borges had reported what he thought was a scoop from Don Yee, Tom Brady's agent. It turned out that Borges was pranked. WEEI host Fourier made fun of Borges by pretending to be Brady's agent, using a fake accent. We have a tape of the segment, but a warning. What you are about to hear is offensive. We are going to play about 10 seconds so you get a sense of what this controversy is about.
Oh, hello. Hello, Ron.
This is Don Yee.
Hey, what is this line?
About to get this contract for Jimmy.
Again, that's part of an offensive conversation on WEEI with host Christian Fourier, pretending to be Tom Brady's agent Don Yee with a stereotyped Asian accent. In reality, Yee was born in the United States and speaks perfect English. Fourier was suspended by the station for 5 days. But the incident, along with reporting from the Boston Globe, spurred at least 5 advertisers to terminate or suspend contracts with WEEI. And as we know, money talks, as did Red Sox president and CEO Sam Kennedy. The Boston Red Sox are a radio partner to WEEI. Kennedy told the Boston Herald that, quote, "This pattern of controversial incidents is exhausting, I think, for listeners and for fans in general." So now joining me is Paul Niewa. He's an assistant dean of the Emerson College School of Communication and an associate professor of journalism. Hello, Paul.
Hello.
And also here is John Carroll, professor of journalism at Boston University. He's also WBUR's senior news analyst. Hello, John.
Hello, Shira.
And listeners, we want to hear from you. Do you listen to WEEI? Are you a fan of sports radio? Will the sensitivity training make a difference at the station? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And you can send us a tweet at Radio Boston. Going to turn first to Paul. You are part of the Asian American Journalist Association, the New England chapter. You've listened to WEEI before. What was your reaction upon hearing these comments as an Asian American journalist?
What I heard on WEEI was the equivalent of plain blackface. It is trying to mock an individual based on stereotypical characteristics. It is something that they're trying to put on and try to make humor of it, and they're doing it in a way to show cultural supremacy over another group. And I think that's the reason why Asian Americans find that segment so offensive.
Now, John, as you know, as being part of the media, this comes after a string of suspensions at WEEI. Shortly before Super Bowl 52, just a few weeks ago, WEEI host Alex Reamer was suspended for referring to Tom Brady's daughter with unflattering language. What's your reaction to these comments? And honestly, were you surprised at all that this is coming out of WEEI?
Not surprised at all. I mean, these knuckleheads don't even know how offensive they are. And it's interesting because they're operating around a fourth grade level. That's the level of humor. And you have to remember who they're talking to. You know, their audience are the people who Globe columnist Dan Shaughnessy dubbed the bloodthirsty shut-ins. So, they are people who are at that level, who expect that kind of talk. And I think that it's not unusual and it's not unexpected. Strategically, they really don't know what they're doing. I mean, Tom Brady is one of their most valuable assets there. Tom Brady shows up every week and does interviews. So for two different people to basically go after him by extension, one after his daughter, one after his agents, is just really the height of stupidity.
Yeah, and this is just the most recent example. I mean, this is decades old, whether it's racism, homophobia, misogynistic attitudes that come across the airwaves there. I mean, let's not forget, I think it was only a few years ago where one of the hosts was suspended for comments he made about Erin Andrews, effectively saying that if she wasn't as good looking as she was, she wouldn't have the job that she did. I mean, this is a repeated pattern of behavior. I think we're going to take some calls here. First, there's Rama from Beverly. Rama, are you there?
Hear me?
Yes. What do you think of this? Yes. Can you hear me? What do you think of this controversy?
Well, it's a pattern of if you support two people, pattern of serious negativity, serious cynicism, and they generally ridicule and make fun of anyone who calls in. I don't listen before 2 p.m. because of that. After
we don't have a great connection here. We're going to go to Adrian from Mattapan. Adrian, do you think sensitivity training is going to be effective?
No, I don't think that it's going to be effective at all. Unfortunately, I think someone will have to get fired. You know, people only make changes when you hit them where it hurts, and that's their money. Thank you.
I want to turn to John and Paul here. Do you think sensitivity training is going to be effective? I mean, it also seems to me that they've done it today, taken live programming off the air in an effort to make a big PR splash with this. And that automatically leads me to question their motivation. You know, is this a sincere effort at retraining their staff to be more sensitive, or is this saving face so, you know, they don't get in a position where they're losing more advertisers, or, you know, there is more money at stake that they are losing? So, Paul, what do you think about the sensitivity training?
One training session is a step in the right direction, but at the same time, we shouldn't think of diversity as something you achieve. It's not a state of being necessarily. It's really a process of continuously asking oneself how you can improve, how you can be more open to others and recognize that great ideas can come from anywhere. The problem with doing this training just one time is that we don't have a sense of whether they're going to continuously think about how they can improve their programming. And so at the moment, I'm really disheartened. I don't have a lot of hope for WEEI because their programming, what they sell, has been about hateful speech. It has been, they have profited and built their model based on offending others, apologizing, and suspending. And when hosts are, some of their hosts have been suspended at least once a year for the past, you know, 5 years, we really have to think about what kind of culture they're trying to promote, what kind of product they have, and whether this is the modern-day equivalent of a minstrel show.
The most effective part of this training, sensitivity training, will be the material it provides the host for Monday morning. I mean, 6, 2, and even, they're going to be mocking this thing from the very beginning on Monday morning. And so I think, from the PR standpoint, you know, obviously EEI wants to do damage control. And I think that this may do a little. They may lure back some of the advertisers, although if I were the advertisers who left, I'd be pretty slow to go back.
Take a wait-and-see attitude.
Right. But I think that they're going to be relentlessly mocked by the on-air people for the sensitivity training. And in that way, it'll be counterproductive.
And I want to turn again to the callers. We have Rob from Stafford Springs, Connecticut. Rob, what do you think? Are you a regular WEEI listener, and what do you think of the recent controversy, or the most recent controversy?
Yes, I am a regular listener. I travel in the city a couple times a week and listen to the show whenever I can. I think your guest disparaging the listeners is a little short-sighted and a little bigotry there. But and I don't believe you're portraying the host's comments in the context that they were done. They weren't about Don Yee himself. They were about the prank Don Yee, not the actual person. I mean, it needs to be portrayed in the actual context which it was done, and not just a knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah, I think the context is important, but he was using an Asian American stereotype. I mean, I don't think there's any dispute about that. And I just want to ask, when you say that the guests have been unfair to the listeners of WEEI, what do you mean by that? How do you see their portrayal as unfair?
The listeners of these programs are like the bottom of the barrel you know, I don't remember the exact words he used, but, you know, lots of us are very professional.
The exact words were bloodthirsty shut-ins, and they're not my words. They're Dan Shaughnessy's words from the Boston Globe.
Yeah,
so I'm just trying to provide some
John.
Context here.
Right, but you're portraying those, you know, you're taking his portrayal and using it as your own in this context. And, you know, there's plenty of upstanding professionals who listen to the show and are entertained by it.
I'm sure there are.
I'm going to go to another caller. This is Peter from Dorchester. What do you have to say about what's going on at WEI today and the larger controversy?
Well, I'm thrilled that WEI is finally on the stand, particularly some of those characters. I'm in total agreement with Paul. I've been listening for years, and I, you know, every time I tune in, I can, you know, I'm an educated man as well, and I have to turn it off. I'm always looking for them to talk about something interesting, like sports, for example. But you know, they always turn to misogynistic viewpoints, racist viewpoints, all kind of underneath what they're saying. It's never truly overt. And I think it would be smart for WEEI to really look at some of what has happened over the last couple of years in particular and fire some of these people. It's the only way they can turn around, because they are this way to the core. They are grown men, and they are stuck in these ideals, and they should not have a voice.
Paul, I want you to respond to both this caller, but also the previous caller who said context matters. And if you put, you know, what was said in context and the use of the Asian American stereotype, it, you know, it comes across much differently. But I don't think that's the case. I'd be interested in your viewpoint on that, as well as, you know, the fact that people need to get fired for the culture to really change.
Well, let me put this in context. So just before Fouria mocked Don Yee with that fake accent, WEI also played a tape of Don Yee. So they knew how he spoke. And he doesn't have an accent. And the reason why it's offensive to Asian Americans is that you're mocking a stereotype that Asian Americans are a permanent immigrant class in the United States, that they are never seen as truly American. And this country overlooks that Asian Americans have been in this country since the very founding of this nation. There were Asian Americans who fought for the Union Army in the Civil War. We have had Asian Americans in the 19th century serve as mayors of a city in Massachusetts. So the idea that Asian Americans are fresh off the boat, that Asian Americans are continuously asked about how well they speak English, is something that is deeply painful, considering the historical record and contribution that Asian Americans have provided.
I want to talk to William from Belmont. He has something to say about the importance of context. William, what is that?
Well, thank you so much for taking my call. What I wanted to say is the listener who was talking about the context, there is a very important piece. And through history, when a culture used to make fun of another culture, it's because they want to set one particular culture as the norm, then invalidating the experience of the other. So when the callers try to say, oh, this was a prank and needs to be taken into context, the context of the reality of the world we live in right now, we cannot allow stereotypes that demoralize and diminish the experience of certain human beings among the others who are trying to portray their experience as the norm or the generalization of the human experience in this planet.
Thank you, William. Time is short here, so just one final comment from each of you, kind of what you're looking for from WEI going forward. 15 seconds we've got for each.
The other context here is the context of radio competition and media competition in general. So I don't think WEI really cares if it gets ramped down too much. I think they just want to avoid trouble.
And Paul?
I'd like to see WEI change its programming so it's a little more inclusive and recognizes that making fun of others based on characteristics that they cannot change is not funny.
Well, that's Paul Niwa. He's an assistant dean of the Emerson College School of Communication and an associate professor of journalism. Thanks, Paul, for joining us. Also, John Carroll, professor of journalism at Boston University. He's also WBUR's senior news analyst. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR station. I'm Shira Springer, and this is Radio Boston.